Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
Let's just jump right in, shall we? I know we don't always want to talk about the date because we are eventually turning this into a podcast, but it is the beginning of the year for us, and I am so excited for 2019. I am really, really never been more excited about a year in my life. And I think it's because I went through hell the last 2 years. So I just feel like I'm coming out of this cloud. And I don't know if anybody's ever been in that situation where it just seems like one thing after another, and you really just want to climb in a little hole and call it a day. Well, I am ready to pop out of that hole and have a beautiful year. And one of the things I want to work on this year is really recognizing not getting in the way of myself. How's that? So today we're going to talk about that because I have one of my most favorite people on the planet, Dr. Liz Tupling's here, and we're going to talk about living with infinite possibility. Now that seems like a mouthful. It seems like, wow, that's a lot for your brain to take. But let me break it down for you. Let me dumb it down for you, just for my own sake anyway. I was in a situation in my life where I was exhausted. And I think I've talked about this on other podcasts and my other shows. And the bottom line is, because I was so tired, I thought that my life was just exactly where it was. Just what I saw. I couldn't see beyond. And it's funny, I wrote that song, Look Beyond Your Horizon, the song that you hear every time our show starts. So you think that I'd take some of my own preaching, right? But it doesn't always work that way, especially when you're caught up in the moment, when you're caught up in thinking that this is all there is and I have to work with what I have. Well, a really good friend of mine, Stuart Frankie, who was also on the show once, introduced me to this lovely woman. And she literally changed my perception with one line, with one statement. She opened a door for me that for some reason I must have had the key, but didn't know where I put it. And she gave it back to me and I opened the door and the possibilities for my life just started coming at me left and right. It just was unbelievable. I can't even really put it into words what happened. But with one statement, she had me look at my life in a different way that in the middle of the night that night, I woke up with about 800 ideas of how I could be successful in my art. And so with that just quiet, subtle introduction, here's Dr. Liz. How are you?
I'm great. Happy New Year, Jill.
Happy New Year.
And thank you so, so much for inviting me to come back.
Oh, it's so good to have you back.
With you.
This will be regular, I believe. I think this would be a good idea. One, I just want to share your knowledge with the listeners because I know how much it's done for me. And I have a lot of people who contact me. And one of the things that they say, the listeners say to me, is that they like to hear my vulnerability, which is, sure. I'm always like, oh, yeah. That's the part that scares me the most when I come in here and be vulnerable.
But it's relatable.
It is so relatable. And on top of it, they like to hear that, you know, that people do struggle, that what we do with our struggles, what we do with, how do we get to where we are and how do we get even further? So let's just kind of jump in right there. You know, living with infinite possibility. What do you feel that means to you anyway, and to express it to our listeners, I guess?
So for me, the idea of beginning to wrap my mind around what is possible started with question. Okay, because so when we go into question, we invite in awareness. And then when we invite in awareness, we start to expand outward, 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 and we get outside the limited space that we've been occupying for years. So question for me, Jill, has always been that point of entry into a whole other dimension that I, in the past, you know, kind of refused to or just was unwilling to access. So when we ask a question like, what would it be like for me to be in my dream job? What would it be like for me to be in my ideal relationship in any space? But what would it be like? So then when you invite in all of that awareness, then you really don't have any choice but to step outside your own BS.
And I love it, because this is where I'm going to give the example is, you know, I had worked a day job for a very long time, and you were very aware of that. And you gave me one question. Well, actually, you gave me a scene, too. But the one question you gave me is, how do you know that you won't make more money leaving your day job? How do you know it's not blocking you from doing what you should be doing? And I was like, what? Like, yeah. I mean, it was like the clouds parted and, you know, Jesus Christ himself came down and sat down and had coffee with me on that one. I mean, it was just crazy how that worked. But then you also gave me a vision. You gave me a vision. You said, what would your ideal morning be? And then you played it out for me. You said, you know, you'd get up, you'd relax, you'd have coffee, you'd meditate, you would work in your garden, you would take your dog for a walk, you would do it. And I'm like, that sounds like a perfect life for someone else, because I didn't think I could do it.
But that's where we get stuck in the lie.
Because why do we? Well, though? I'm wondering this. This is really annoying me.
My sense is, Jill, there's been some societal messaging that says all that good stuff, the access to the goodies, is for someone else.
Yeah.
And that's a story, and that's a lie. So when I work with clients to go into stories and narratives and some of the societal messaging that I think we've all absorbed to our detriment, I ask them to evaluate that one particular thing, like that's available to everybody else, but for some reason it's not available to me. Well, where is the truth in that? And how do you know that that's true?
Right.
In fact, if you kind of follow the energy of that, more than likely it's a lie.
It is a lie. And we keep feeding it. The more we feed it, the more buried we get.
Well, and then our vibration comes down, and then we're in the low vibration space, and then we're not able to invite impossibility. So it's a bad, bad, bad cycle. So what you did is you went into the question of what could my day look like? You started to actually visualize it. You started to experience it. And then what I watched with you happen and this unfolding was transformative, but you went into that generative space where you could start to generate and create ideas. And then I watched it literally like bust through a barn door into your life, like fast, you know,
it was so fast.
It was speed of light for you. And I think you were shocked and surprised at how quickly you could invite in all of these possibilities. But you did. And you are a fabulous example of somebody who can actualize and manifest as soon as you commit to removing the blocks and the barriers, because you did.
And, you know, I think one of the things, too, obviously learning from it and giving yourself goals or having other people give you goals, which really came in handy when you said to me, you gave me a date. And it was 6 months from the date that we discussed that there was a possibility of me leaving my job. And it still freaks me out to this day that was the last day of my day job. I mean, it was a miracle. But, you know, and because I remember looking at you, I'm like, yeah, great. Like, maybe I didn't say it to you personally. I'm not sure. I don't remember. But I was like, she's nuts if she thinks I'm going to be able to do this in 6 months. And I did. And I manifested. And it did turn out that way. I still, though, for all you listeners out there who reach out to me and say that they like to hear my vulnerability, I will say that it still can be a struggle. There are so many things that, you know, now that I'm on the other side of this, I'm like, okay, now what? You know, that fear tries so hard to get in there and knock me down to keep me from doing what I really want to do. For example, we talked about it prior to the show that, you know, I had this feeling that I didn't deserve to be on tour.
Right.
And although every time I'm on tour, it's very successful. So I don't know why I put myself through this. And so I forced myself that every time I sent a booking email to someone, I put a smile on my face. Where before I used to send the email and just be like, oh yeah, they're not going to like me. They're not going to like my music. They're not going to book me. And I was like, why do I do this? So I started this New Year's Eve. And I was like, this year is going to be your year for touring. And I started doing this. And within 48 hours, I had 7 bookings. And it was crazy. Right. 7 bookings. Like, and prior to that, I couldn't get anybody to answer my email. So it was like, really, just a smile does that?
So I have a question for you, because that was part of a creative process that you were in, where you were open to an awareness that that smile was going to be a game changer for you.
Mm-hmm.
So what was that about for you? How did you connect with the idea that the smile attached to the emails was going to open up doors and possibilities for you?
Well, I just felt that it wasn't negative. I wanted to change the negative thought, break it down, and just really force myself to know that absolutely, you know, I mean, I just got off a tour in November and it was fabulous. So I'm like, why would I put myself back into that negative energy when it already turned out okay? And that was with one of my venues burning down, and it still turned out great. You know? So, sorry.
Up in flames, but it's all good.
It was still okay. I got a great song out of it. But yeah, so how do we continually work on that? Like an exercise, like going to the gym, how can we work on our brains to just stop the madness?
Well, see, that's where we get tripped up, because it's when we spend way too much time in the headspace.
Yes.
That's really, I mean, you want to give up the lease on the head. That's not
move
one,
on out.
That's not one you want to keep renewing day after day, minute after minute, hour after hour, because in the head you can go into 8,000 places and, you know, debate and yo-yo back and forth, right? So go out of the head if you can.
How can you do that?
And, well, send yourself south, okay, into the gut.
Okay.
Or even into the heart space. Mm-hmm. But go into the gut, because the gut is never, even sometimes the heart can lie to you a little bit, right?
Yeah.
But the gut.
I've got a few ex-boyfriends to show me that.
I think we've all got a collection of those. Like, well, we bought a lot of lies around that one. But go into the gut, and in the gut is the truth. And where we evaluate a situation, a person, a thing in the gut, we're going to read it a couple different ways. If we follow the energy of what's going on in the gut, it's going to generally read heavy,
mm-hmm.
which means it's packed full of lies,
okay.
Either lies that others have told us or lies that we're telling ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the old narrative, the old story, it's done. Or we can read it as light.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when it's light, it's truth. So, and you don't have to spend a lot of time there. The more you do this, the quicker it'll happen. So,
if
a new opportunity comes to you and you literally just go into the gut space for 3 seconds, does it read heavy? Does it read light? If it reads light, it's truth.
It's a magical thing that
right.
I mean, I have put that into use already. And I actually told a few people since you've told me this, and they're like, that's so simple.
It's so simple.
It's like
right.
you can wrap your head around it so fast. And, you know, creative people, we are overthinkers. I'm sorry.
Sure.
Most people are, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
But to be able to go, wait, what am I feeling right now? Because obviously my gut is telling me something's wrong. So if it's something's wrong, then why is it heavy? And then go to where the light is. And
right.
I love it.
And sometimes we don't even need to know why it's reading heavy. Just know that it's reading.
Good idea.
Yeah, just don't
get out of your head again.
Yeah, get out of your head. So if you're going into the analysis, you're not really going into the energy. You're going into the headspace of, well, I need to do this huge analytical kind of computation to keep myself safe.
Mm,
right? And
mm-hmm.
there's fear behind that.
Absolutely.
And anytime there's fear behind something, there's probably a low vibration that's driving it.
Okay.
And you don't want to be in that. So when you go into your gut and you access all of that, everything that's available to you to be able to feel whether it's light or it's heavy, that's everything you need. Because if it's light, it's going to read as fun, magical, miraculous. There's that elemental kind of creative energy behind it. And can you go wrong with all of that?
No. But I think somewhere, and maybe I'm wrong, but no, I'm not. So many people, you know, we were just talking about this before we got on the air, is what's wrong with being joyful all the time? What's wrong with having fun all the time? What's wrong with being happy all the time? I think that somewhere in society or somewhere in my life, I don't know, where people feel that they're not working hard enough if they're having fun.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And so can we call BS on that one? Because you and I both know a lot of people who are living extremely abundant lives because they get up every day, they do something that they're passionate about, and they're making contributions in the way that feels right for them. And they're having a boatload of fun.
Right. And I mean, it's not to say that things don't happen.
Well, sure they do.
You know, because I can, you know, I can hear some people thinking, oh yeah, perfect life, perfect life. I'm not saying perfect life, but I'm just saying that I think there was, at least in my life, there was something that if I wasn't like, you know, raking myself over the coals, something wasn't right. I wasn't working hard enough, you know?
Well, so when you are having fun and you're joy filled, right, then you do have space within you to deal with crap when it hits. Okay.
Good point.
You're right. Like that's life. That's the human condition. We're all going to have some bumps in the road, some less than pleasant situations in life. But for the most part, if you're inviting joy in and you're experiencing joy, when it does hit the fan, you have capacity and
space. More energy to do it.
And you can make better decisions and choices. Let's call them choices, right? About what to do when something goes wrong.
Right.
That's so much more accessible to you because for the majority of the time, you're in the space of fun and joy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, which brings me to, I think, you know, one of the things that I think I know is very common with a lot of people is who we surround ourselves with. And, you know, how can I say this? When you grow up in life, you have your friends, your family, you have different people, and it kind of becomes a habit to be with the same people and certain people and not recognize this heavy light thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's your advice for, you know, I think one of the things that's hard for me is, which got better through the years, was feeling like I owed somebody, even though they were not good for me in my life. You know, I just felt like, oh, I can't get rid of them because, you know, and I don't mean get rid of, but, you know, just maybe distance myself or something like that. You know, I think a lot of us don't recognize some of the negativity that we have in our life and we leave it there and we just try to make excuses for it. And we, you know, create a space for this energy that isn't good for us. You know, what would you recommend for people who just have situations in their life that, besides just kick it to the curb, you know, I mean, I know it's a simple thing to say, but, you know, I think it's hard sometimes for people to detach from negative people.
It is, and I think there's a part of all of us that wants to take care of some of those people, or we feel, especially as women, sometimes that it's our obligation to be the caretaker and to prevent the train wreck from happening. But the truth is that when you swoop in and take care of, you actually take a person off of a path that potentially they may have been destined to be on, or there is a requirement in a soul contract, if we want to call it that, that they have that experience. So when you take them off of that path, you're denying them access to an experience that perhaps they could learn from. Okay. And that's really codependency 101. And we're all, you know, we've all contributed to those chapters.
I was the queen at one time.
Exactly. We've all held that title. So one, you know, you're not really helping somebody when you're, you know, continuing to kind of shuffle along the path with them. You're certainly not helping yourself. But a tip that I give clients, and a mentor shared this with me not too long ago, and it changed my life, was, you know, there's a great affirmation that we can say every day, throughout the day, a couple times a day. I experience all of life with ease, joy, and glory.
Ooh, I love it.
I experience all of life with ease, joy, and glory. And that sums up a lot.
Sure does.
And if you look at the people that you surround yourself with, the people that you spend time with, that you're close to, and you can't even imagine in your wildest dreams that they would ever, ever, ever use that affirmation because they're stuck in some pool of whatever where they have to prove to themselves every day that life is not filled with ease, joy, and glory, then you're probably running with the wrong crowd.
Right, right. And I think sometimes we don't recognize it. We just absolutely don't recognize it till all of a sudden, you know, you run into Dr. Liz and she may point it out. By the way, is that person make you feel good?
Yeah.
No, they make me feel terrible. You know,
yeah, so, I feel heavy when I'm around them. And
heavy.
Do I need to take on their heaviness?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not.
And I think one of the growth experiences that I had with this development of knowing heavy and light is that it doesn't mean that you have to be angry. I think a lot of people feel that if someone is not right for them in their lives, in other words, there is this heaviness that you feel when you're around them, it's not being productive for you, you're trying to fix them, which is not productive for them. I always thought that, like, you know, maybe distancing had to come from an anger, like, right. you know, just like, oh, I can't be friends with you, or I can't, you know, be right. in your life, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't have to be that way.
No. And what's cool about being an infinite being is that we have access to so much choice. Mm-hmm. So choice allows us to, you know, go into that space of, is this person good for me? Is this situation good for me? And without attaching a good or bad, right or wrong meaning to it, we can just step away without the, you know, the big closure, I need to end this kind of, you know.
See, that's so important, because yeah. people think that you have to have this major closure, like they have to know why you're ending their friendship. But if you're just changing your behavioral pattern, that
it's a choice.
It's a choice.
It's simply a choice. Mm-hmm. And doesn't everybody, you know, shouldn't everyone have access to choices?
Yes.
We're not in a no choice universe. We're in a choice universe. So if we have to bring something to a conclusion, you know, whether it's a job, a friendship, a relationship, it's okay for us to just say, this no longer serves my highest and best good. Nobody has to be a bad guy here.
That's beautiful.
It's just about choice.
Right.
And this is the one that I'm exercising.
Well, I think one of the things that I was shocked about was, you know, when given the opportunity to distance myself, I remember thinking that the person was going to fall apart. I remember thinking that the situation was just going to just fall apart. Everything was going to be terrible if I walked away from it, because I was the savior.
Right.
I was the fixer, as we knew.
Yes. Yeah.
And when I pulled back, this is a great example of what you said, is that they lived their life. They stayed on their path. Some of these people actually went on to be better
sure.
without me in their lives, I think, in the sense that I was in their life, you know, me being, I think, almost like a crutch.
Right.
So I love the idea that if we step right. back and allow people to be themselves.
Right.
And walk their path. And who knows what that path will be.
When you left some of those situations with the dynamics that you were involved in, then there was that vacuum, right? Because mm-hmm. Jill left, and Jill was the fixer, and she mm-hmm. was the crutch, and she held everybody together, and she was the glue. So then that vacuum left that space for them to figure out, okay, so now I have to stand on my own 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have to access possibility on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have to look at choices for me, because Jill's not there choosing for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you actually create capacity for them by leaving,
and
which is kind of cool.
Yeah. And I think that that happens with when, you know, my dad passed away. It'll be 2 years in April coming up. And it's a similar thing. When he passed away, we all kind of fell apart. You know,
right.
it was like he was a glue that held all my siblings and I together. Well, we didn't realize it, I don't think. I don't think any of us realized that. And so we all kind of fell away and realized, oh my God, but who am I going to ask what to do? How am I going to do this? How am I going to survive? And now that, you know, it's been a year and a half and we all kind of fell apart, you know,
right.
From losing my father. But as the years go on, we're all finding our own journey. And so I thank my father, not for dying, obviously, but I thank him for the changes his death has caused me to experience
mm-hmm.
and the growth I've experienced from a death. I mean, who knew? I didn't know grief would also contribute to my successes as well, which is a strange thing. You know, it's a strange concept when you think about it.
Well, his passing launched a reorganization.
Mm-hmm.
It literally did.
Yeah.
And I think with your willingness to be aware and to, again, invite in infinite possibility, you were able to carve out the path that felt light for you
mm-hmm.
and go into the generative space that you did and mm-hmm. occupy it, own it. And really, and this is an amazing thing that I've witnessed with you, is really step into your potency. Potency
Ooh.
Is a big, it's been a big thing for you, which is power.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't mean the distorted version of power, but the power within all of us to create.
And we all have it.
And we all have it. We just have to really see that it's accessible to us. And through question, again, invite it in.
So if we were to put one question out to the listeners today to get them started, what would you ask them? I know I'm putting you on the spot there.
Sure. A great question to ask self is, who am I not to be every version of me that feels light, that feels like I am occupying the capacity and the space that I'm meant to in this lifetime.
I love it. All right, you listeners, you listen to that. I want to thank you, Dr. Liz. It's always so good to have you here, and we can't wait to have you back. I also want to thank our sponsor today, which is sponsored by Dino's in Ferndale, Michigan, and talk about living with infinite possibilities. Dean Bach is the owner of Dino's and also Embrew here in Michigan, and he just opened a beautiful place in Gaylord, Michigan called Abel Iron Grill. I mean, talk about just going out there, picking a place in the middle of nowhere, and he had a vision and he made it happen. So we want to thank Dean Bach and also Dino's. Thanks again for joining us. Please join us again for your living with infinite possibilities and dreaming big, baby.